episode 197 of Game Over Nation. We just did 196. Look behind the curtain. There you have it. So, if you're familiar with 196, you should be familiar with our guests today. Harris Foster.
Hi.
Devin Sneathan.
Yo.
What's going on?
Not much has changed, I'll be honest, from the last time.
About an hour has passed in real time. It's a little darker outside. Yep. A lot of real good stuff.
Mm-hmm. We had some real deep, like, off mic discussions, some off the record stuff.
You know, that stuff we said about the person who's listening to this was the most scandalous. Can you believe that's true?
They are up to something.
I couldn't believe it. You, listener. You.
All right, so what's Rocket League like?
I can't imagine that you haven't talked about Rocket League on a Game Over Nation podcast yet.
I mean, obviously we have, but like, have you played the DLC stuff at all?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, me and Harris did some 2v2 ranked.
Absolutely.
There were some worthwhile additions, the biggest of which being when you're in a party with people, it shows their cars alongside yours now.
At the start screen.
Did that happen before?
No, it did not. We wanted it. We thought it would be cool, and they listened to us, and it is now here. It's amazing. So basically, if you party up with someone in Rocket League, let's say you party up with two of your friends, there's three cars total, it'll show them all on the start screen looking like a badass crew.
Of vans. Obviously.
The best car in the game is the van.
So I bought the DLC. And with it, you get a bunch of cosmetic stuff, basically. And unfortunately, the way that my loadout of choice in Rocket League has gone unchanged. So I'm not using any of that DLC stuff. I just wanted to give them $3, so I did.
Yeah, they deserve all the money in the world that you can give them. It's a fantastic game. You're getting it for free on PlayStation Plus. Well, you already had that chance. If you haven't yet, pick it up. It's like 20 or 15 bucks.
20.
Incredible. 20. Incredible. Regardless.
It had been a little while since I had played it, and like just jumping in, I played like a couple of solo 1v1 matches, and then we played some 2v2 matches, me and Harris both, and it was like I remembered instantly why that game captured us so much during the beta, you know, era, and like during launch and everything. Like, it kind of, you know, it can quickly fall off and you can be like, well, you know, I don't really feel like playing that right now or whatever. But as soon as you start to play it again, you remember how much fun it is. And I will never not lovingly think of that game. It's wonderful. It's so, so wonderful.
It really is just the perfect blend of action and strategy and sport and not sport and beauty and simplicity. It's way too early to talk about Game of the Year, but it's Game of the Year. Everybody else should go home.
And, you know, it's really fun to watch the competitive scene for that game grow a little bit as it's going.
From the gate, it's just gotten bigger and bigger. I see more, you know, esports tweets every day.
Right. But, you know, teams are being established at this point, and the like cash pools for these tournaments is actually starting to exist, which formerly it did not. It's still very small amounts of money compared to other major esports games. But, you know, the cash pools are starting to exist, and, you know, the people that are in the little Rocket League communities are getting hyped about these tournaments and are watching it. I think that it has real potential. We'll see how different a game can be from game to game, you know?
I think it's going to be a really great spectator esport because it's going to be very easy for people to instantly understand. You know, things like Dota and League have a lot of things to know before you start watching.
Real big barrier.
Absolutely. This is just going to be a thing. It's like, hey, this is soccer, but with cars.
You ever heard of soccer?
Yeah. So I'm excited to see where that game goes in the future. I hope it goes down the TF2 route. I hope I can buy a lot of stuff in that game. I want, you know, we were talking about free-to-play games earlier. I want that game to be a game I throw a lot of money at.
You know, that's an actually really interesting thought, because before, you know, like the last generation ended, it didn't really seem possible for a game to change as dramatically as we now know it is possible for a game to change. And like Rocket League at release, super compelling, super interesting. But like, how much more could they do once they start to like monetize additions and stuff, and they could add different game modes? And there are like a million ways to play with that concept. You know, the baseline game that you have there is so compelling and plays so well and feels so right that it's, I can only imagine how far it could go from there.
Right.
With just a little bit of creative tweaking and, you know, seasonal updates.
Like, part of me doesn't want the community to be split between different game modes. Like, you know, you don't want to have to wait longer for a certain game mode or have a certain game mode be behind a paywall. But at the same time, like, how cool would a bowling mode be, where you throw your car at a bunch of bowling pins? Or like one where you launch your car off a ramp and you try to hit the middle of a target? Or even like a Mario Kart battle mode. Like, that, right. The way those cars feel can lend itself to so many other interesting ideas that just the possibility, the potential of this kind of stuff really, really interests me. And like, I want this game to explode out of its edges. You know?
Well, it's got the player base for it. This thing's...
Absolutely.
It had a great launch. It had a great launch. Yeah. Undoubtedly.
Maybe a little too good, because those servers...
Yeah. Pretty solid now.
Pretty good now. I was having some problems last night, but I think it's...
Occasionally it throws you into an Australian server.
I wasn't having any problems, so I think Harris was faking it.
It's because
he was underperforming. He was underperforming, and he needed an excuse.
Yep.
So obviously, lag.
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 Easy blame. You found me out. Now we can't ever play video games together. It's pretty great.
I know your secret. I know your secret strategy.
I've been found out. It's true.
So, yeah, freaking Rocket League. Yeah, we're a burgeoning Rocket League esports team.
Ah, yes. Team Nice. We've had
Noobs
serious, and cars.
We've had some
extreme.
Some real success in our... esports forays so far, and I can only imagine what the future holds for us.
You know, I need to do some more research, but there's a chance that a small segment of Noobs and Cars Extreme will be partaking in a Rocket League tournament at PAX, where the grand prize is a PS4. So,
and as a long-standing member of Noobs and Cars Extreme, I can only imagine that I have a quarter stake.
Yeah.
In said PS4.
Absolutely. Just bring your PAX badge in and we'll get you in on the team. It'll be great.
I don't...
Oh, is it... You don't have a PAX badge?
No.
You're not going to PAX?
I'm...
Oh, okay,
no.
Then no PS4 for you, you honky. No.
Can we talk about how PAX is terrible?
It's up to Gabe.
Okay.
PAX is pretty awful. Don't go. All right. That's it.
Oh, you gotta say why.
Because you're waiting in line for people to sell you a game by playing a small portion of a game pre-release that you will soon have within 3 to 6 months and be able to play by yourself in the comfort of your own home as long as you want. And
what
you're
about
waiting,
the indie booth, though?
You're waiting in a hot space with no cell phone service and people crowding around you, and you can't get comfortable because you're sitting on cement floors and there's smelly people everywhere, and generally it's like a terrible, horrifying experience that I wouldn't recommend anybody do.
Gabe, counterpoint.
Indie booth.
Indie booth
is cool.
Panels.
Some of those games don't come out. I don't go to panels.
I like panels. I like to.
I always mean to go to at least one, and then I never do.
I like to put faces to the people who make games. I like to talk to them. I like to hear their stories. I like to see.
So what's your story? That's when Harris walks up to people. What's your story?
I say, hey man, I see you work at Konami. What's it like there? Tell me about your job, man.
Oh, that's I cannot say.
They wouldn't be there.
what did you want to say, Devin?
What was I going to say? I was going to talk, you know, for me, my experiences at PAX, and this is why I just generally stopped going. I had gone for a long time. I've been to the PAX Easts. I've been to some PAX Primes. And eventually the investment just wasn't worth it. I found myself at the end of the day, like the amount of interesting things that I did with the badge were like numberable on one hand. And I paid a lot to get in there, and I spent a lot of time in a very crowded place to do those small handful of fun things. And the more fun things, the more memorable things, 100% for me, always happened outside of any PAX badge holder gate. I just figured I'll be here. I'll definitely be here. I'm going to be around during PAX. I'm just never going inside PAX.
Okay. I feel that could possibly be something that I will agree with now that I'm of drinking age. and this will be the PAX where I figure out if I will follow that model. This is a decisive PAX that I will be attending here in a week.
I believe the Amish call it Rumspringer.
Yes.
It's the PAX Springer?
This is my Penny Arcade Springer. And we will see how that theory holds up. It all depends on what they got on the floor, what panels I want to see. I am looking forward to the Industry Royal Rumble and seeing a bunch of industry people pretend to be wrestlers.
Yeah.
It's things that I could normally watch on YouTube later.
You can see that stuff, right?
Yeah,
right.
You can normally watch it on YouTube later, but everyone knows there's a magic to being there, and there's a magic to being a part of that crowd and getting hype, and I want to see if that magic holds true to me or if I become an alcoholic and do the Devin thing after hours. So I'm looking forward.
For me, you know, like the cynicism bred within me is a serious thing that I deal with daily. But for me, it's just like that the consumerism present, and this is like nerd culture in all of its facets, is so heavily consumer based that it turns me off sometimes.
You want some buttons?
I got an exclusive pin here, just PAX only.
All you have to do here, no, for real though, this is something that I know people around me have done. All you have to do is pre-order this game, actually spend money pre-ordering this game, and you get a free T-shirt.
No way.
And then you can cancel the pre-order.
Hey Devin, guess what? I did that twice.
I know you did. I'm calling you out specifically.
Oh, you're talking about me?
Yes.
Well, you're goddamn right.
And it's like, fuck your T-shirt, man.
I think they've stopped doing that.
Yeah, they knew it wasn't working.
I've not seen that present.
Now, pre-order Assassin's Creed 4, you get this dope Assassin's Creed 4 t-shirt, which
Assassin's
I'm sure
Creed
now
3.
You...
Please.
Now you...
Please.
Oh, even worse. I'm sure now you love and treasure that shirt.
I wear it to sleep sometimes.
Oh my god, that demo that Harris and I went
into. Oh, that was embarrassing.
That's the best
demo I've
ever seen.
Was that the one where there was a dude stuck in the Christ pose in the middle of the fight?
So you used the singular...
There was multiple people?
Oh, there were like four.
Oh, man, that was such a good demo. And there are people freaking out. You know, I've been to like three or four sit down and watch demos. And the only one that was really good or that actually like was true to the game was the Last of Us one. That Last of Us sit down and watch demo was pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
It came out a week later on YouTube and I felt jaded. But
that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Man.
So, but here,
these aren't unique experiences.
Some of them are. Some of them. Indie booth.
Yeah.
Like you.
Indie booth is like the highlight. It's like the
Octo
bread
man,
and butter.
We played Octodad. Remember how we were going around? You guys got to check out Octodad. That was
apparently I met Cliffy B.
Yeah, you met Cliffy B.
This
he was looking over your shoulder while you were playing Octodad. Yeah, I love the indie booth because you're going to see things that are experimental that you might not ever see again, and that's a really cool place for that. But like, as someone who's going to like pretty much work as someone who constructs like PAX events and stuff, like this is what I want to do, I totally get it. Like, you know, with us and how we work and how we are and who we're connected to, this stuff seems passe. You know, it seems just, oh, blah, 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 we're over with it. But there are some people who, you know, get...
We over with it.
We
That's
over
my
with
album
it.
Name.
Yeah. There are some people who get really excited about this kind of stuff, and they save up a lot of money. You know, they don't live in Seattle. And they don't get free flights. And so they will... This is their thing. Like, they want to be amongst their people. They want to, like, experience an event, and that's the fun for them, and I totally get that.
Harris, who do you know that gets free flights?
Nobody.
Okay.
But some people do. And yeah, it's more about the event than the consumers. I mean, I totally get like the whole consumerism thing. Yeah. But like these people want to be sold to. They want to they're that's what they want.
That's what gets me, man.
I get it, man.
People are so willing to buy into this, like, this world where they're surrounded by advertisements constantly. And it's like they're there with the express purpose of things being sold to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they are, like, super excited about everything being branded. Their backpacks that they're wearing, the bags that they are given have all this branding on, the pins that they're wearing have all this branding, all of these big names and stuff. And they are essentially now
a walking
advertisement, and they've willingly bought into this. They've paid money to become a walking advertisement.
But,
and this makes me sad.
And see, that's a very interesting case study, because to them it's pride, and it's like support, and it's a love for it, and they don't see it as that. And I see both sides. And, like, you know, for the developers and the publishers, those people are super duper important, you know, because they go home and they tell their friends who don't read gaming websites, who don't go to these things, about their experience, and they tell them about these games, and they get them hyped, and it's just a spreading, you know?
Marketing.
And they say, yo, check out this Far Cry 3 tattoo I got.
Hey, Dave, why is your head shaved? Oh, there's a Far Cry 3 promotion where if I shave my head, I got a free copy. You should totally check out that game. And he's got to explain that to everybody. He has to tell his boss that he shaved his head because of Far Cry 3, and his boss might go buy it. So
he should be doing that in a booth in front of a priest. That is a sin, a mighty sin.
I was wondering where you were going with that. I was like, what? But yeah, I think I get overwhelmed with the advertising too, but it's more for the people who are there for the spectacle. They're happy. The developers and publishers are happy.
Right.
I think it's a really interesting balance.
Yeah.
I think,
you know, this is more of a personal thing for me, and that I've been working through as far as how I feel about it all for a long time, because I definitely feel a little bit on the outside of all of that, you know? And I would like to be able to show genuine enthusiasm for this kind of stuff, but it's just not possible for me right now.
Well, you don't have to. I'm not like, oh, fuck yeah, PAX is coming. I'm like, oh yeah, people are going to be
here. That's right. I mean, that's what I'm most excited about. I don't.
That's what PAX has always been like.
Right.
Yeah.
And I feel like I can take equal part in that without actually owning a PAX badge.
And that's what I'm going to find out this trip. You know, someone asked me, what are you looking forward most to at PAX? And I said, oh, well, I'm going out every night with my friends. And they were like, okay, but what on the floor? Like, what games are you looking forward to? It's like, I don't know, man. Indie booth.
And it's like you think about like what will be there, and like the big name, like the one game it'll probably be somewhat playable is going to be Fallout 4, right?
Maybe it was playable at Gamescom.
I'm not waiting in that line.
Yeah, no,
right,
no way.
Exactly.
Fallout 4 is about making your character. Like me walking through the desert
isn't gonna sell me the game. This is what I'm saying. So it's gonna be like you're gonna get like 10 minutes maybe with this like 40-50 hour game.
Yeah.
And you're not gonna be able to really delve into any of the systems or create your character or have any like real
connection.
Authorship over this narrative. However, that said, and knowing that this experience of getting to play this game early is completely empty, completely worthless, and you'll be able to do the whole thing in your home in November. However, with that all said, there is going to be a fucking 5-hour line for that.
Yep. But and
for that worthless experience, people will wait hours.
And but like, you know, for some people, like, there will be enough there that it will be satisfactory to them. Like, they'll be like, oh, now this thing happens like this, and oh, now this gun feels like this. Oh, the shooting feels like this now. I mean, I would be willing to wait in a line that's, you know, some minutes long to see how the shooting feels now. I would like to know that. Ramirez
is there. I'm bringing a chair.
Yeah.
I'm just bringing a chair.
I mean, and then there's, you know, games that you are very, 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 very excited about.
Like, I guess everyone has their pet games.
You know, it's like, you know, there's a mystique to playing a game before it's out for a lot of people. Like, I used to be like my first PAX East was like, oh my God, I'm playing Crackdown 2 right now. This is amazing.
That game turned out awesome.
I know. Man. Like, that was.
Wait, do you remember how good we thought Brink was?
I don't remember ever being pumped about Brink.
Me and Gabe and Serge waited in line for Brink, and we played Brink, and we got done. We were like, that was pretty good. That was a pretty good game. It was, oh, if only we knew.
What's the worst game you've ever pre-ordered?
Brink.
I pre-ordered the Bionic Commando remake, but I'm not a full-on hater of that game.
You don't fully regret that decision?
No, like, I like Bionic Commando.
Gabe does like his grappling hooks.
I do. Yep.
SimCity for me.
Oh, yeah, it's a tough cookie. I haven't pre-ordered in a very, very long time.
Yeah. I've been pretty good about, like, what I've pre-ordered.
For me, with SimCity, I ordered, like, literally 4 hours before it came out.
I mean, if you're talking about, like, yeah, if you're talking about, like, what's the worst game you bought on launch day, probably Brink or...
Brink.
or Driver San Francisco was not very good.
I mean, like, critically, probably Bionic Commando is probably my answer. If you look at, like, general, like, opinions of that game, not a lot of people like it. I remember, like, all my friends were, like, hyped as fuck for Bionic Commando after the multiplayer beta because it worked and it was fun. And the multiplayer in the release game didn't work at all. I never had one match that, like, functioned. And how do you have a game about swinging and not put a fucking race event in there?
It's true. But the closing out on PAX, like, I probably won't ever wait in line for a AAA game again. Because they're so crazy long. But, like, there'll always be that one game that I might. Like, if Metal Gear Solid 3 wasn't coming out, or, sorry, Metal Gear Solid 5 wasn't coming out for another, like, 4 or 5 months, I'd wait an hour or two in line for that at this coming PAX.
Even with Ground Zeroes out?
Yeah. Yeah, just because I feel like it would be a good demo, because, like, I don't know. There's more to do in that game.
Do I own Ground Zeroes now, or was that an Xbox?
It was a PlayStation Plus thing.
You probably got it.
I think you said you got it.
I should try that.
I do need to go through and get some soldiers in there.
That quiet, am I right? Whew. Oh, boy. Whew. Really
She's
gets
got a good
my
theme.
Pulse pumping.
She's got a good theme, at least.
So, speaking of playing games pointlessly before release, we played some of the Call of Duty beta.
That's right.
I played
that briefly at Dow's.
Okay.
I was pretty good at Call of Duty 4. Like,
Harris was reflecting.
I was also referring to how good I was at Call of Duty 4.
I was a Gold Cross 55 Club.
Is that 10 prestige?
That is 10 prestige.
Wow.
I did not do that.
Me neither.
I remember the last time we tried to play Call of Duty 4, Gabe?
Oh my fucking Call of Duty 4 and Xbox 360 these days is a fun... Yes.
Yeah. Yes, it is so bored.
You will occasionally get into a game where you will see a menu pop up and somebody's scrolling through and something will say like no gravity
mode.
Wait,
like a dev menu or something?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's really nuts. You should try it sometime. It's pretty crazy.
You don't have access to it. It's like when the game's like loading up, when it's on like that countdown. And then it'll like go through this drop down and you'll see this like the selection of what's like highlighted. And the one I've seen is it goes to, there's a list of five. I can't remember what they were, except no gravity. And you jump up and you never come down and you just hit like the level ceiling. And then the game ends like 15 seconds later, everyone hits the ground and dies.
Oh my God.
And so anyway.
Well, yeah.
So we played, Black Ops 3. Call of Duty Black Ops 3. Beta.
Which is, from what I played, it was like, oh, this is Call of Duty Titanfall Destiny.
Yeah.
I've played a fair amount of Advanced Warfare, which has similar concepts. And I think, you know, there are definitely still some mobility like additions to Black Ops 3, like there was in Advanced Warfare. However, I think what they're doing with Black Ops 3 is much better. What I was finding in Advanced Warfare is that people were a little bit too mobile, and so you would never see them on the ground, and they would always be hopping around everywhere. And generally what that meant was that super close-range combat options were really viable, and long-range combat options were shit because people moved too fast, and you could never get a lock on them. So like sniper rifles and like long range of sight rifles with scopes and stuff never felt good to play. And I like that kind of stuff. And there'd be people running around like jumping on you from above with shotguns and just destroying you. But the way that the mobility works in, Black Ops 3 is a little bit more limited, I feel like, and a little bit slower maybe and a little bit more predictable. And feels great, actually. So I think I will maybe like this more than I ended up liking Advanced Warfare.
Yeah, I was intrigued from the little I played. Harris, you played more than I did.
Yeah, so. I mean, it's first off, it's striking in visuals. It's very good looking.
Box quote.
Harris Foster, 2015. But it felt like a natural progression for the series, which is always good. I was doing terribly at it. The last Call of Duty I got into was Modern Warfare 2. And, you know, the crowd that plays Call of Duty is going to keep playing Call of Duty. And I stopped, and I haven't picked it up until just then. And I never got a single kill streak item. That's how bad I was doing. So, like...
And then not one UAV.
Not one UAV. Every time I would be one kill away and someone would kill me.
My first life was, like, just, like... It was old school game. Like, boom, 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 wrecking shop. I never got a kill after that. Because we were doing just two deaths and then we handed off. And then it was pretty quick deaths after that.
You know, like, there is some like weird thing about Call of Duty that like once you start dying you just start dying a lot, and I think there's like
death streaks.
No, they got rid of this.
Okay, because that was a Modern Warfare 2 like bullshit.
There's
that
a certain real dumb. Yeah, there's a certain amount of impatience, I think, that like, you know, you get killed, you like quickly respond as quickly as possible and try to get back to where you were or whatever and kill the person that kills you, and you just get killed over and over and over and over again. At least that's what happens to me when I play Call of Duty. I need to like intentionally slow myself down and like focus on something else for a little while, and then I can get back into the mode. Anyway, I didn't play for very long. I got a few kill streaks. I just wanted to mention that.
I got
a UAV or two. And some kind of strike missile. That was fun. Also, another thing in this, there's like hero abilities,
yes.
Basically.
Yeah, that's the Destiny bit that I was talking about.
Yeah, and they're on very long cooldowns, like between 2 and 3 minutes is for the one that I picked, I was seeing. And they weren't For me, it wasn't like super impactful. It was very hard to know exactly when it was good to use, and it only like ended up helping me once or twice the whole time that I played that beta. I'd like to see them be able to be used a little bit more, or maybe it just has to tweak the cooldowns based on what the ability is. But like the ability that I had did not seem very useful, mm-hmm. especially for the amount of time that I had to wait in between activations.
What ability did you have?
I was playing the girl with the arrow, with a bow and arrow, except for I picked the other one, which was basically like a pulse out from your character that would highlight enemies through walls and everything, and you could see their movement. So you would know where they were, and if they were about to pop out from behind a wall, you could just have them scoped in already. And that didn't come in handy very often.
Yeah, I don't know. I found that my special ability didn't come in handy very often either. I started with one where when activated, you just run really fast, really fast. You just zip around. But the amount of time you're given to run fast and like how long it took to give you that back was just right. Not enough, you know? And so,
did you say gotta go fast?
Of course. Every time I activated, I screamed it. And so I switched to the one where you would, if you were in a firefight, you could activate it and just like teleport back to where you were a few seconds ago. And I found that that one was pretty useful. Because like, I would get in a sticky situation, I would have it at the ready, and then I would use it once, and I'd be out of it. And like the amount of time it took for that to come back made way more sense to me. Way more sense. And so I feel like those can be very interesting if they're used correctly. But, I mean, I guess that's why they had a beta, you know, was so that they could learn about these things. And, yeah, hopefully those get fixed up soon.
Guys, I have to say I have a confession.
Confession.
I'm buying Destiny again.
Why?
Because it's cheaper to buy the new Destiny that comes with Taken King than to get Taken King and the DLCs.
I don't think the question was why are you buying that version of Destiny, but why are you thinking of playing Destiny ever again?
There we go.
The Taken King stuff seems pretty nice.
You know what seemed pretty nice?
Destiny.
Fucking Destiny. Exactly.
I know.
Yeah, but sorry.
But also, I want to play. Fool me with, once. Like, some friends.
Fool me once. Shame on. Fool me.
Fool me once.
Fool me can't be fool me again.
Yes, there you go. Gabe. Gabe. We're on this podcast. We enjoy spending time with you, obviously. You've been working very hard lately producing podcasts for this wonderful website.
Never doing podcasts again.
That's right, because you're going to start doing Destiny and again ignoring us. So here's the thing.
I didn't ignore you guys when I played Destiny. Are you just talking about how I ignore you guys when I get busy?
Yeah.
That is correct.
Okay. You get very sad.
So I'm going to urge you to not buy it. You know, you got a friend telling you to buy Destiny right now. I'm going to be the equal and opposite force in this Newton law and tell you to not buy Destiny, and then we will decide who you truly love, Gabe Philbin.
You know what? Like, maybe I'll buy Destiny.
All right, this has been episode 197.
I want to play games with Rachel, Surge, and Dal, and I think Javi's getting this too. He probably will.
They do play a lot of that game. Fuck, they play a lot of that game.
Yeah, it's mainly just Rachel and Dub now that play it a lot. But... Well, that's how Rachel is with games, is I think.
Rhea, I've experienced Rachel, this with her before, where it's like
Rachel she gets like a few games, and that's what she does.
Yeah, she plays those games constantly.
She Binding of Isaac is always on.
Great game.
Yes, Destiny. We know Harris likes Binding of Isaac.
Fun fact: Rachel has not missed a day of Animal Crossing
since it came out. That is impressive.
That's amazing. How is that possible?
That's really cool.
Every day plays Animal Crossing. I am terrified of what my town could look like. Something tells me it might just be gone. Just a vacant lot at this point.
Yeah, you go back and there's just a mini mall erected It's like, oh, we evicted everybody. Sorry, your house is gone.
The mayor wasn't here to stop us.
That would actually be pretty good. That would be so good. And then you just have to like start a new town. Oh, man. Are you listening, Nintendo?
They do listen to podcasts now. So.
I think we can call it here.
Yeah? A little quickie, short one?
Yeah, a little packet. A little package podcast for you. So, this has been episode 197.
Everybody. 197? We're awful close to 200.
It's going to be so exciting. I can't wait to listen to 200.
What a weird coincidence.
It's crazy. The last time we got close to, like, when we were going to 100, we had to slow down. So, we still did podcasts every week, but I just didn't number them. And they were just about, like, random bullshit.
You guys are cheaters.
Part of me wanted to, like, retcon and go back to those articles and number them.
Yeah, it turns out that this was episode 197 before episode 100 even came out. So,
yeah. So, like, canonically, this is probably, like, episode 203. But I didn't number those, so... canonically this is 197.
See, well, this is the American 197. In Japan, this is actually Game Over Nation USA. And the real one is just opera. Japanese opera.
Oh, shit. Really?
Oh, yeah, it's pretty great.
You need to link me this.
Undo mo arigato, Mr. Roboto. Pretty much that. For an hour.
That's opera? Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, so you can find us all, and by us all, I mean just me, at Game Over Nation on Facebook and Twitter. So at Game Over Nation Twitter, Facebook.com/GameOverNation. GameOverNation.com is the website. It's all pretty now. Got cool little header images. You can see my face on all the podcast
articles.
I
matched with the Game Over Nation Tinder account yesterday. What a charmer.
You know?
Bad PAX advertising solution, huh? You know, a bunch of lonely dudes and ladies swiping at the convention center. It's GameOverNation.com.
God, that's fucking evil. It's fucking evil, but like maybe we could make it funny.
I'm taking a cut of that, you realize.
There's no
apparently
money in
there's
that.
Oh, we'll talk about it later. But
there's a fallout.
There's a lot of Tinder accounts for hashtag brands.
Okay.
Brands.
You learn something new every day. So you can find me personally at Twitter at RavidWombat9. I tweet a lot about wrestling and complain about it a lot.
He's right. He does.
Harris is at Harris Foster. Yep. Devin is at Jet Reset.
Yeah, you can follow me for random bullshit. Random bullshit.
If you want to see tweets like Devin asking someone to take him to their nocturnal surf world.
There you go.
I'm still waiting. No, actually, I've been to the nocturnal surf world, and it's a beautiful place, and I wish to stay. Yeah.
All right. What album is that?
It's the Lelouz album.
Okay.
Talk about music for a second?
No, this podcast is over. We can talk about
music. We'll try that in 198.
Fuck.
Space Jam soundtrack is the best album of all time. Thank you, everybody, for listening. This has been Game Over Nation 197. And with that, we are gone until 198. See you later.
He shut me out. I couldn't rebuff his statement about Space Jam.
You should just have all of this talking as the music fades in. And then it just ends.